Hear that? Believe it or not, summer is just around the corner. Luckily, Armor All, America's most trusted auto appearance brand, has what your car needs to get that perfect summer shine. Plus, now through May 31st, we'll give you $5 for every $20 you spend on Armor All products. That means car wash pods, protectant, tire shine, you name it. Find out how to get your $5 rebate at ArmorAll.com. Armor All. Less work, more clean. Terms apply.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Thanks, yo.
To the van life.
What's up, guys, and welcome back to the podcast. I'm Frankie.
And I'm Alex.
And together we are FNA Van Life.
This is the podcast where every week we bring you news from the nomadic community or interviews with other nomads so that you can know what it's really like to live life on the road.
And we're going to be talking with other nomads this week, which I'm really excited about. I feel like it's been a couple weeks since we've had other nomads on the podcast.
And it's been a really long time since we had, like, live and in person nomads sitting with us, because we've been doing all, like, Zoom calls and things like that.
Well, being in Canada and not on the road, it's just, it's a little different, you know, for us, because we've had the baby and now we're just kicking it, you know. So we're trying to figure out ways to be able to make this podcast happen, because a baby makes things just a little bit harder.
So without further ado, we would like to introduce you to Camp Lovesick. We have Jane and Em. And we're really excited to talk to you guys today.
Hello!
Hi!
We're excited to be with you in person with Paco on our laps.
Well, I feel like really we're with you guys because we're at your home.
That's true.
We're at your place.
You know? You brought the party.
Yeah.
We brought the baby. We brought the dog. Yeah. But you guys have the bus.
Yes.
So I think, I wouldn't say you're winning. It's not a competition.
We're just a little ahead in that category, but you're ahead in the baby category.
Yeah. Yes.
So it's just a trade-off.
Yeah, but you're going to have a baby very soon.
3 weeks. Maybe less.
Oh, God, don't say that.
It's the unknown era right now. Like, this is the part where you just have no idea what's going to happen. And we were here, like, 4 months ago, literally. Mm-hmm. In the same predicament.
Yes.
In this house, actually.
Yes. In this house.
Yeah.
Alex was, Everly was full in her belly, chilling. It was, yeah, it's crazy, though, how you can kind of talk about the situation. Like, we've had the opportunity to talk about our experience with having the baby and, like, what we were expecting compared to what we had happen, you know, and now you guys get this opportunity to, like, kind of see our version of what happened, you know. Mm-hmm. You get to ask as many questions as you want to anybody that you know that have kids, so you get, like, an idea. But everybody has a different experience doing it, so I'm, like, excited to see what happens for you guys and what that's like. Where, like, how do you guys feel on where you're at when it comes to, you know, the baby about to be born?
I don't know if you guys felt the nesting urge, but, like, if I could be drywalling right now whilst doing this podcast, I probably would.
I feel like it comes in waves. There are certain times where I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to be the best mom. This kid is
so privileged,
so lucky. And then other times I'm like, I can't do anything. I don't remember how to make a sandwich. How am I going to raise the child?
Okay, the other day we were doing the dishes and there was a pot that just had water soaking and she just turned the pot over, like, onto the counter and just water went everywhere.
Oh,
and
my.
We just looked at each other and she's like, I don't know. I don't know.
So I'm a little distracted. I feel like I maybe have some pregnancy brain / also just, like, my mind is all over the place, so.
All the blood flow and, like, the juices are in your belly. You're not worrying about
No,
the
it's true. Yeah, the other day, too, I was emptying the dishwasher and I put on my oven mitts first.
That's awesome. It's funny how, like, mama brain and pregnancy brain is, like, a real thing. You know, I'll never experience that, but I could see Alex having some experience of that, and, like, hearing you with flipping the pot is just, it doesn't even make sense to me. But it's a thing, for sure.
I also think that when there's just so much on our brains, like, we're trying to build the bus. Our goal was to try to finish the bus before we have a baby. But then also, you know, we're living in a 60s bungalow that needs some upgrades, has some holes in the walls. So we're trying to patch those. And then also we're trying to build a nursery and also. And it builds up, and then your just brain is so filled with all these tiny little things that it's hard to, you know, not flip the pots over all of a sudden.
I get it. So let's go back to, like, how you guys got into the bus life to begin with. So your first rig, why you decided to get it, how that kind of all unfolded.
Yeah, so what year did we start?
2018 is when we bought our first bus.
Yeah, we kind of were obsessed with, like, the idea of tiny homes, that kind of thing. I was just graduating from university, and it was kind of this, like, where do we go from here? Like, how do I enter the adult real life world? And so I kind of pitched the idea of, like, Jane, what if we learned how to build and we built ourselves a bus? Well, then we built one bookshelf, and then we were like, yeah, we got this.
Experts.
So, we were like, we got it. We built one bookshelf one time. We know how to do this. So I think after we kind of did that, we just I don't know, decided to go for it.
So.
And Jane always likes to say she didn't think that it was going to happen until it was, like, we were, like, 3 months into the bus trip. Like, she really didn't feel like it was going to happen. Like, we were handing this guy money, and she still felt like it wasn't going to happen, you know? So it was kind of a crazy whirlwind at the beginning. We just bought a bus off of some guy from Kijiji. Met
for
him in a
people
lot.
Who are not Canadian, Kijiji is
like Craigslist.
It's like Craigslist. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you. Our American translators.
Yeah, and I had no idea what that was before coming here.
Yeah, and so just some random guy in a parking lot bought this bus, and then, you know, with our experience of building one shelf one time, and I didn't even let Jane hold the drill because I was like, no, this is too much for you. We just went into it, bought a few power tools. We actually used there's a tool rental library used. So we'd rented most of our tools for free with that library, which was amazing, and just got to working on our bus, except for our very first bus then went to the mechanic for what ended up being like 6 weeks. So our whole summer to build the bus, because I'm a teacher, so I get the summers off. We're like, let's take this full summer to build the bus, and then we'll start our trip after next school year. Became about 20 days. So we built the full bus in 20 days.
Oh my goodness.
Which is crazy now to think. But it was a pretty bare bones bus. Like, it had everything we needed and not much more. So, like, that was kind of, it was perfect for what we needed it to be. And that was the time we had. We didn't have much money. So it was like as much upcycled materials as possible. Like, we barely bought anything. And, I worked for the next year, and then we went on the road. We hit the road and went out to traveling, and it was great. Like, we didn't have full plumbing. It was just gravity systems. Mm-hmm. We had a compost toilet we made ourselves. We had one LED light strip. That was the lighting for the whole
luxury.
Bus. Yeah, it was like, so it was super just basic, like, what you need to live, and it was
Coleman stove that we would unpack and repack every time we had to cook.
Yeah. So this next bus that we're building is definitely a step up, but it did prove to us that you don't need as much as you think you do. Mm-hmm. And we lived in that for 9 months. We got cut off. We would have lived in it longer, but we got cut off because of COVID, so we had to come home. But we realized, like, oh, you don't need as much as you think you do.
Yeah.
And you can still live a really great life with less stuff. And in figuring that out, it kind of frees you to new opportunities. And we just enjoyed that whole experience and that whole adventure. And so we thought, let's do it again, but with a baby this time.
Well, it's cool that like, inexperience to the experience of doing it, right, changed your idea on what it was and your perception on what it was and what you loved about it, right? And we had a very similar experience in the sense of our first rig having, like, that Coleman stove that you had to take out every single time you cooked. And, you know, you start putting in these, like, things that are more stationary and more, like, you know that you have it there at all times. You don't have to break it out and pack it back away. But is that kind of taken away from the simplicity of it at the same time?
Definitely taken away from some of the aspects of the simplicity, but I think in the end, you know, now just our stove is worked into the counter. Like, it takes away the simplicity of the build, but not necessarily the simplicity of, like, the minimalism of what you're living with.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's more technical of a build, but we've been now building campers and converting different vehicles for the last 4 years. So we've come a long way since that first shelf. And, you know, we always say thanks to YouTube University, we were able to figure out how to do it all. So, you know, yes, it takes away the simplicity, but more so of the build and less so of, like, the actual lifestyle. Mm-hmm. I mean, I say that, but we're also getting a water heater and a full shower.
Yeah. But, like, I don't think that necessarily, it's still very simple compared to, like, living in a home.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think too, especially getting on the road with a baby, just having the things being easy. Like, one step.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
I need to boil something or cook something or whatever. Mm-hmm. One step.
Yes.
Turn the
yes.
thing on. It's on. You're cooking.
Yeah.
Rather than, like, five steps.
Right.
Open the cupboard. Take the thing out. Put it on the counter.
Yes.
Clear the counter. Do the screw on the gas. Like, this whole thing. So, I don't necessarily. I think it actually makes it more simple in a way. Because you're like, okay, I can just turn the faucet and water
Fair.
Comes out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Fair.
And, like, it definitely makes the build more complicated. But then it's like you're front loading the work.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yes.
And that was kind of with our newer bus versus our old one. Our old one, the main downfall that we had was if we wanted to leave a place, it would take at least 15 minutes to pack everything up and then get somewhere new. And it would take at least 15 minutes to, like, unlock every cabinet that we had to, like, individually lock closed and, like, put the water jug back up and, like, put all the books that were on the bed back on the shelf. So this one we are, like, really prioritizing, like, have it good to go kind of in living mode. In our last bus, it was, like, living mode and driving mode. Have it always be, like,
they're the same mode.
Yeah,
it's one mode.
Exactly.
One mode.
Like, it just, they all are one. And then,
yeah, exactly.
So, yeah, I think kind of going off of both of your points, I think it is, yeah, I agree. Mm. It is kind of the more simple way. It's just you are really front-loading that work into creating more of a complex build. So, you know, we built that first bus in 20 days. We're, what, month 4 into building this one? And we're definitely not done, and we're working every single day on it, you know? So, I'm not teaching right now, and Jane's working half days on it. So, like, we're full-time building this thing, and we're 4 months deep, and we're still not done. So, clearly, we're front-loading that work, but it should all pay off so that once we are on the road with our baby, it's going to be a simpler, cleaner life that we can just, well, maybe not cleaner, but that we can
it's
just
be
kind
a
of
lot
enjoy.
Of baby shit.
That's why we have the shower.
Yeah, perfect. And I will say that when you're building the first rig, you know, compared to now, you're building, like, probably, like, your fourth one at this point, since you were doing the trailers, right? And
I think this is our sixth.
Okay,
yeah.
Sixth one,
yeah.
Right? So when you first build the first one and you get in it and you drive away, first thing that happens is almost every single cupboard flies open.
Oh, 1,000%.
Because you didn't realize that you were supposed to put something in
like
there.
Like a magnet.
Yeah, something. And so, like, same for us. The second rig that we built, we made sure that everything was, like, literally, we just get in the front seat and we drive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as long as everything's in the cupboards, we could just get in the front seat and drive.
Yeah.
And so we would have friends that would be packing up their rigs. It would take them 25 minutes.
We're, like, sitting in the driver's seat, like, okay.
We turned on the
car. We're ready when you are.
Yeah.
You know?
You know, so it's a huge difference in just, like, you do want to make your life as easy as possible. And actually, one of the reasons why we sold our last van and we're building it now, but we're going to have a bus here soon. The reason why we're doing that is because it wasn't built for a family of three with a newborn involved.
Exactly.
You know? So we'd have to rip out our whole last build in order to build it out properly for all three of us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I think the intention now is much stronger because you have a family on the way. So you know exactly how you want to build it, how you want to make things a lot easier for yourselves when you're on the road.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Definitely. To some extent, although I feel like you guys have an advantage because you already have a baby and you're doing the build. Whereas even for us, we're still kind of guessing and being like, I think it'll be convenient to have a change table here. But like, yeah, I haven't changed a diaper in 12 years. Like, who knows? Maybe this is like way too high or too short or something. So it's like, there's still a lot of guessing with the, we're building with the intention of a baby, but not having a baby is,
Yeah. For even for an example, like we had to figure out where we were, cause when you build a bus, you have to rip out all of the seats, right? So that you can redo the floor and you can insulate it and do this whole thing. So then you're going to add a seat back in so that you can have a car seat. I recommend it if you're not considering
it. Oh, we've already considered it.
No, I knew you guys would. And so once you're adding that seat back in, then you have to figure, well, where does that seat go? So then we're trying to figure out, one, how big is a baby? And then two, how big is a car seat and how much space does it need? So we're just like Googling things because we don't actually have a car seat. We don't actually have the baby, but it's all going to happen soon. But we have to kind of predetermine some of those things that we can't just go and measure ourselves so that we can move forward on the build and just hope that we made the right choices based on our Googled answers. You know what I mean? So that definitely puts it in a bit of a deficit, but with that deficit comes the massive perk of the extra energy we have right now to build this bus because we don't have a baby.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, there's definitely a give and take in that. I thought that we would have more time, like once the baby came and was here, because it was like, there was like probably the last month or so we were kind of lollygagging a little bit because Alex was extremely pregnant at that point and just
I couldn't do much, and then Frank was sympathy not
I was sympathy yes.
Oh, I feel that.
Yeah.
Which I don't mind. I mean, we spent a lot of time like watching nice TV shows or going on walks.
Yeah,
and,
rubbing her feet,
enjoying the last bits of summer, you know.
Yeah, yeah. We were like, hey, when she's here, we'll just, you know, get back to it. And that was the wrong thought process on my part. But, you know, I kind of figured that I would have time to be at the build and work while maybe Alex was, like, taking a nap with the baby, which never happens. Because, like they say, you sleep with your baby. Like, you know,
yeah, sleep when the baby sleeps.
But that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
You know? Well, sometimes the baby only sleeps for, like, 10 minutes, and then she's up again, and you're like, well, that was a great nap.
Yeah.
I barely had time to pee, and now we're right back at it.
And I also say it's great having, like, four hands to do things on the build, where when the baby comes, two of those hands are dedicated to the baby a lot of the time. So, you know, you don't have the four hands as much.
Yeah, I mean, it doubles the workload right there, right? Mm-hmm. So it's, for sure.
Yeah, and I will say that, like, having the change table in the bus is going to be great. But I will say also that you could change a baby anywhere. As long as you have some type of pad to put down, so just in case they wee or poo, then, you know, you're not getting it on stuff. But having that change spot dedication is going to be great.
Yeah. But then also, like, thinking ahead, like, can that become a standing desk? Or can that become, you know, like, what could it double as when you're not changing diapers?
Exactly. True. Yeah. Exactly.
I think the one thing that I would think about for this build, having the baby, is since we use cloth diapers, we're going to need a place to put those dirty cloth diapers.
Yes.
So definitely having some type of, like, dual laundry chute, one for, like, the baby's dirty diapers and one for, like, clothes, whether it's the baby's or ours, it doesn't matter. But that one will be much bigger, and then, like, the chute for the cloth diapers.
Poop
chute. Yeah, the poop chute, per se. That's something to think about. Having, like, a little spot where your wipes could be.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, maybe just having some things kind of particularly laid out will help in the future. Like, oh, okay, I know this stuff is right here always.
Yeah, and another thing that was important to us, too, was kind of future-proofing it in a way that, like, we, if we can, you know, you never know with fertility, but if we can, we would like to have another kid. Mm-hmm. And so if we do have two kids, do we then have to sell this bus and build another bus?
Mm-hmm.
But now we're building another bus while having two kids? Like, if I'm scared about finishing this bus when we have one newborn baby, how am I going to do it with a toddler and a newborn baby, right? So we're kind of like, let's try to, if we can, make this bus be something that will work for two kids. So we really try to build this bus in a way that, yes, is really built for this next chapter, but hopefully is built for the next two chapters in a way.
I love that. Super foresight? Is that the word?
Yeah. That's it. You got it.
I'm still working on my baby brain.
Yeah.
Now I have, like, newborn brain.
Yeah. You're killing
the brain definitely changes, too, because, like, now Alex has more worries, I feel like, than ever before. You know, that's one thing. Like, we were talking about the trip that we're going to go on. We're going to be going to Schoolie Palooza. So if you guys are going to be there, let us know. Maybe we can meet up at Schoolie. But, like, one of the things that is a huge concern is, like, is the rig that we're going to be taking there going to be set up to where we could have our baby in it, you know?
Yeah. Well, because it's not, it's going to be, like, a rental, kind of. So then it's like I was saying, like, do we have all the things that we need? Do I have to bring all the things? What, like, so then my brain just, like, starts listing all these things that, like, have to happen and whatever. And even just to, like, come to your house tonight, it's like, there's so much more stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, is she going to have somewhere that she needs to, like, lay down to, like, take a nap? Or can we change her? And do we have the bag for that? Do we have the diapers? Do we have the wipes? Do we have the car seat? Do we have the blanket? Do we have the, if we need to swaddle her because we're going to be there kind of late, like, do we have somewhere for her to sleep? And the, it just is, like...
Goes and goes.
Goes and goes and goes and goes. And so, like...
And her mind is working faster than how quick she was talking.
Surprisingly.
Yeah. And then Frank's like, you were a little bit hectic. And I'm like, I felt like I was pretty cool. And
I was like, I'm going to record you next time on us leaving the house, just so you can see how frantic you look.
I will say I love that about van life, though. Like... You have everything with you all the time. And I think that that and having a baby goes so well together.
Yeah. Yes.
Because when you, you know, you're just coming over to our house for dinner. Yeah, you have to genuinely pack for this adventure of the, for the evening. Whereas you're just driving your van, you're going over to someone else's van for dinner. You're just leaving your van and going to theirs like five steps away.
Yeah.
You never forget anything. So you'll have the binkies, you'll have the extra diapers, you'll have everything with you. And I think that goes hand in hand with, like, being so much easier with a baby.
So, looking ahead to when this van or this bus is done, I always say van.
I'm
van is stuck in my head.
You'll get there.
So, when you're done with the bus, what is, like, your goal? What's the plan? What do you want to do?
Well, it's very nice to see you guys out and about with your, you know, almost 3-month-old, because that's about the time that we're hoping to hit the road.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the bus isn't done, and we're 3 weeks away from having this baby, so, you know,
who knows? You built your last van in 20 days.
I know. You really think I should be able to slap on some trim in the next 20, but, we'll see. We'll see how it all shakes out in the end. But I think our goal, if everything goes well, is to leave when our baby's about 3 months old.
Three to five.
Yeah. Give us a range.
You've got the warrior here and the more
adventurous. Like, we got it. We'll leave now. We'll give birth on the road.
Be in a tub somewhere.
Exactly. So that's kind of the plan. And then when we first went in our bus, we kind of did a clockwise tour of North America, kind of the borders. So just Canada and the States. We didn't dip into Mexico or anything. But so we live in Ontario, we went east to Nova Scotia, then dropped down the East Coast all the way to Florida. And then we headed west, actually for Schoolie Palooza, to Arizona, kind of saw all of that. And then that's when COVID hit. And that's when they closed the borders and they made everyone from out of the country come back into the country. And then they told us that you have to go back to the province that you're from, et cetera, et cetera. So we kind of got stuck and came back. So a big part of this next adventure of our next bus is kind of picking up where we left off. So just so that we don't, you know, redo so much of what we just have done, but we kind of finish all of the pieces that we feel like need to be finished. Like, there's always pieces of our heart that are just, like, still in some of these states that honestly are, like, fine states, but like, for us, they're, like, amazing states that we must go see, because they're just, like, our piece of us was left there when we had to come back. So that's kind of where we're planning on heading, west from Ontario, so heading west to BC, spending the summer there, and then as it gets into fall, kind of heading south, and then being kind of in the south area, Utah, Arizona, Nevada, that kind of thing, like southwest.
Mm-hmm. By about next winter. So our thought is to leave maybe May, maybe June, and then do like a 9-ish month trip.
Yeah, another 9-ish month trip. Essentially, it's for the rest of our parental leave, our mat leave, which maybe you need to explain for Americans too. I don't know.
Just like Kijiji, we don't have maternity leave in America. Just kidding. Do you get a full year?
Yeah, so I'm taking the full year just because Jane's self-employed, so she doesn't pay into it. But
okay, cool.
Being a teacher, I my paycheck just comes and pays into it naturally. So I'm taking the full parental leave. I don't call it mat leave. Maternity leave is what it's normally called. Yeah. But that's only just because I'm not the pregnant person. So that can kind of get confusing for people when I'm talking to them on the phone, but it's the same thing. And then we'll hopefully rent out our house that you're currently sitting in. Mm-hmm. And when we're out on the road, and then those two things together, we'll be able to fund our whole trip. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it should all just work out.
So it's going to be more of like a general question.
Yeah.
Because of the audience that might be listening, I feel like as a traveler, I kind of feel like I might know the answer to this, but like, how do you feel about traveling with a baby? Do you think it's a suitable lifestyle even for the baby?
Yeah, I mean, you have everything with you at all times, so that's perfect. I think it's a really great lifestyle. I can just picture it going well. We don't have a baby yet, so who knows, maybe I'll be like cursing past me in about a year from now. But I think, so much of the travel we like to do in the bus is nature focused, is being outside, going on walks, like listening to the water and seeing the trees and doing all that. And that's things that really calms kids, and kids mm-hmm. like being outside. So it's not like we're going to just be sitting in the bus, mm-hmm. like not leaving. I mean, we will have those days, I'm sure, when it's cold and rainy and we're tired. But I think that kind of travel, like, I think it works well.
And I think, too, it's about expectations. Like, in our first bus trip, we had all these places that we wanted to see. Like, I have to get to the Grand Canyon. I have to see this national park, do all of this
stuff. Gotta go to San Francisco.
Whereas this bus trip, we're really trying to set up our expectations of, like, we are going to be new parents. And if we happen to see some beautiful nature, like, fantastic. Yeah. If we spend 2 weeks by this lake because we're tired and that's all we can manage, then that's fine. Mm-hmm. And really making the trip be about being together, being in nature, and not really caring about what that nature is, and just like slowing the pace and having it be
what we need it to mm-hmm. be. And I think it's like, we've mentioned, like, it's gonna be hard to be a parent anywhere, mm-hmm. so why not be in front of a pretty mountain? You know mm-hmm. what I mean? Like, if we need to just camp out somewhere and not move, then we camp out and not move. That's the beauty of van life. You don't really have to plan. Like, you can just act and be where you need to be and move when you need to move and stay when you need to stay. Yeah. So, especially when you're camping on like BLM and these free spots, you don't really need to book anything. So mm-hmm. you can just fly by the seat of your pants, and that seems to be an appropriate thing as new parents, because you don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what your baby's going to need until they need it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I feel like, too, like, with my plethora of experience of 3 months having a child.
More than us.
Yeah, we're experts now.
Some days are really good, and then some days are really hard, and it's like, you never know when that's going to happen, and it might just be, like, you're really tired, and so, like, the baby might be being the same, but, like, you're taking it a lot harder, or, like, they're having a fussy moment, or, like, they're going through one of their leaps, mm-hmm. and, like, whatever. So I think the flexibility of van life in that sense mm-hmm. is really good, because when people think of traveling, it's, like, you pack a suitcase, you go somewhere, you have a week or two, and then you mm-hmm. come back, and there's all these expectations mm-hmm. of, like, what you're going to do while you're there, and, like, everything you have to get done, and blah, blah, blah. Whereas, like, in a van, like you said, if it's, like, if the baby's having a hard day, if you're having a hard day, if, like, you just stay exactly where you are. There's no guilt, and there's no, like, oh, I wasted all this money on this whatever,
Exactly.
You could literally just be, like, we're just going to sit here and figure it out.
Yeah, and I would even talk about stability in a sense, right? And I know a lot of people out there, like, oh, a baby needs stability. Realistically, mm-hmm. a baby needs stable parents. Mm-hmm. They need parents that are going to be there for that baby. And no matter what it is, just, whether it's a diaper change or just to cuddle or whatever, the baby wants to experience new things and see new things and smell new stuff mm-hmm. and feel new textures and be involved in all the different stuff. So as long as you can give the baby stability in the place where you're living, whether that's a van or a house or whatever, the stability comes from the parents. Mm-hmm.
That, I mean, it also comes from, like, the routines that you set up, and that doesn't change depending on where you are. And the other thing about, van life that's so good is when you're having everything with you, like, they can nap.
They can do whatever they need to do in that moment because your whole home is with you. And at the end of the day, yes, your location has changed, but you close those curtains and you're in your home. Like, it doesn't feel like you've moved, right? Because you put out your blackout blinds and every single night it feels like routine, even though you're at a totally different, in a totally different state, on totally different mountains, doing whatever. It's like, at the end of the day, you're ready to go to bed, it feels exactly the same. And that is very stable, you know?
I think that's what I like about van life in general.
Versus hotels, going to a different hotel every night. Yeah. Like, that does sound exhausting.
Well, having to eat out every night because you don't have the utensils to cook or, the, like, the cooking space to cook.
You're having your favorite breakfast every morning because it's just, you have it in your kitchen.
Exactly.
Like, I never really loved the idea of, like, backpacking and, like, hostel living and things like that. Like, I, you know, it's, like, kind of exciting and, you know, whatever, but, like, the thing that I love about traveling in the van is that you do have everything. Like, it's your same bedding, it's your same pillow, it's your, you know, the way that you make your coffee in the morning is, like, there, you know? It sounds kind of boring because it's, like, you know, everyone's, like, oh, living in a van is so, like, outrageous, and it's, like, no, I just, like, take my house with me everywhere.
I just don't like to leave my house so much that I have to bring it everywhere I go.
It's an introvert's dream, really.
It's like the introvert extrovert, the one who wants to stay at home but also loves nature.
Yeah.
I want to get outside and see beautiful shit, but I also don't want to be bothered.
Yeah. My home needs to be 5 feet away from me at all times.
And I'll talk to people when I want to, all right? it really is. I miss it so much, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, just being here in Canada and where we live in the county is such a beautiful place.
It's beautiful here, for sure.
Gorgeous. And I have no complaints about that. But there's just something different about being on the road and seeing different places and waking up to something new once a week or once every month, depending on how fast you're moving. There's just this really simple but lovely thing about it, in my opinion. And I do love the fact of just always having the things with me at all times in such a small space. Because right now we're staying in a fairly big house. You know, Alex's parents' house is where we're at. And the house is a good size. It feels smaller than what it is. But also at the same time, it almost feels too big.
Yeah.
Because, like, there's just too many rooms or, like, too many places for things to be. And so you kind of get, like, things go everywhere. And then you don't know where they are. You know, like, I feel like it's very easy for things to get misplaced in such a big house where in the van it's like, oh, that's right there.
Well, everything has a home in a van because it has to, right? Yeah. Like, in vans, like, everything has to have a purpose and everything has to have a home or else it's chaos. So, you know, you will know where the binky is because the binky has its own little cup. Like, whereas in a house, like, I don't know, like, I lost my phone earlier and I left it on a brad nailer in a room. Like, but I don't know that. Whereas in the van, it's just like, oh, no, because this is where that goes every single time you're going to not use it. And you have to do that because the space isn't big. So everything, every single square inch has to be thought of in some sort of way. Even if that inch is just to give space, it has to, everything has intention in a van.
And if you need to clean, sweeping takes like 1 second. All of a sudden, immaculate house.
Yeah, it does. Your bus or van does get messy very quick. Like, you have like 4 shirts on the ground. You're like, it's chaos in here. But then it's also only 4 shirts to put away. So, like, within 10 seconds, it's like, oh, it's clean again. Never mind. Like, we're okay.
No, that is very good. So, you mentioned earlier you're on your 6th rig.
Yeah.
Can we, like, go through that evolution? Because it feels like a lot.
Okay, so we don't count this as a rig, but just to give the evolution of building, we have our bookshelf. Okay. Just need to clarify that's not a rig. Then we did our bus. So that's literally the second thing we built was a full schoolie after a bookshelf. And then after COVID brought us back, we realized we wouldn't be able to travel as we thought we could. We had to stay home. I had to take care of my dad. He was working in the hospitals at the time, helping people with COVID, etc. So someone had to be looking after him as he was looking after other people, kind of thing. And so we moved into their garage and we were like, okay, we can't go back to work because we had already taken leave off of both of our jobs. So what are we going to do now? Like, are we seriously gonna spend, like, we wanted to be out there so bad. You talk about missing it, like, we missed it. Like, no one
more in the world in that moment because we just so badly wanted to get back out, but that wasn't the world that we were in at that time. So we said, are we seriously going to use all of our savings just to sit in a garage and like bake pasta? Clearly I'm not the cook.
You can bake pasta.
Okay. Clearly I'm definitely not the cook. I didn't even know that. And like for my dad, like that seems so sad because last week we were in the mountains in Utah and it was like such life. You know what I mean? So then we kind of said, okay, you know what? Like, we really loved building. We went and saw so many people's rigs, so many tiny homes. We lived in this rig for 9 months. We feel like we could do so much better. And we feel like we have kind of, in a way, become tiny home experts in figuring out, like, what do people truly need to get out there and adventure? And so we're like, let's take the rest of our money and spend it on another rig. But with the purpose of selling it. So kind of leveraging that money, investing it into what could be more money down the road. But then really more than, you know, a business move and a financial move, it was just a way of keeping our brains busy because we were all in lockdown and no one could talk to anyone or do anything. So that was kind of our first rig after our bus. We built this camper. It took us, 6 months?
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. In breaking news, leading scientists worldwide are conducting experiments to determine if Reese's Peanut Butter Cups are the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. However, it appears the study was inconclusive, as the scientists couldn't help but eat all the Reese's. Because when you want something sweet, you can't do better than Reese's. Find Reese's now at a store near you.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
I think only four.
Okay, 4 months. I'm not the memory person, but Jane has baby brain, so I'm trying to help her out.
We've really slowed down on the builds. You'd think like we'd become faster at them, but we've really slowed
down. Yeah, we've
down
gotten more meticulous, I think. But maybe it's 4 months.
Was it like a travel trailer?
Yeah, it was a tow-behind travel trailer. We are not mechanic people. Like, you guys got your whole, like, you can just do it. You know what I mean? And I'm sure we could become those people. Like, I really think that that's what bus life, van life has taught me is like, you know, we would be out on the road and so many people would be like, oh, I wish I could do this. I'm like, you can. Like, you literally can. You just have to decide you want to. It's just that we've decided we don't want to.
Kudos to you, because believe me, it's a pain in the ass a lot of the times. It's great to know. But, if I didn't have to do it, I wouldn't.
Yeah. I think it just very much the mechanic side of us doesn't interest us. Whereas like the design building, like that part really is exciting for us. So it's following your passion kind of thing. So we did that trailer. We sold that. Then
we moved to
the county.
Edward County, and bought a trailer when we moved in with my brother. We built it out at his house.
Were you living in it or you were living in the house?
We were living in the house. And we worked on that.
Did you still have the bus?
We did still have the bus, and we were renting it out,
We were renting it. I think we just
onto it.
We didn't know what we wanted to do with it yet, so we just had it.
Yeah.
And then we sold that camper, and then we sold the bus because we realized, okay, well, what we know is, one, we could build a way better bus now. And then two, this isn't the bus we need for the future. And paying insurance every month for something you're not using just felt wasteful. So, so we sold the bus, sold our second camper, bought a third camper at that time.
No, then, I think for your sixth rig, you're also including Nissan, our small hatchback that we built out. But we did go on like a 3 week long trip.
Nissan. This thing is like the smallest hatchback that probably exists. Like, the interior, like, square footage of it is so tiny that we could not lay down, and we are not tall people. Like, this is a podcast. people picture the smallest people you can picture. Yeah. That is us.
We're a little bit larger.
We are smaller than the smallest people.
We're small, normal sized human beings.
We're about 1 foot tall, and this thing was too small for us.
No, we're about the same size as our baby.
Do picture that. Picture
very fun. Just think right now.
1 foot tall.
Four babies are sitting here talking.
We are the size of Beverly, and it was too small for us. It was crazy. We mainly ended up using our tent and sleeping outside because the only way to sleep was to put one of your legs on the one side of the headrest and your other leg on the other to kind of get into the square footage of the front cab, because that was the only way to stretch out, or else you just had to be like in a little S shape. It was crazy.
So I don't know if I would really consider that one of our rigs.
Yeah, I count it because why not?
In the bookshelf.
Yeah. The bookshelf.
On the bookshelf was the check engine light on.
So then we got our Nissan, and then we got another camper.
No, then we did our minivan.
Oh my gosh, James should be telling this story. Then we got a minivan, and we renovated that. That does count as a build, because that's fully self-contained for sure.
With a solar panel and stove and plumbing. It is like better than our first bus, the minivan.
It is smaller than our first bus, but definitely more high tech than our first bus. Like, that's when we're talking about simplicity. Like, we at least have plumbing in the minivan. On our first bus, we just had gravity water systems. So we had a toilet in the minivan.
Oh, yeah.
We have a convertible bed that turns into two couches. So you kind of have like living mode and then sleeping mode. It's sweet and it's for sale. It actually is. Yeah. I was going to turn that into a funny plug, but it actually is, but it also is our primary vehicle right now, so we're not like super jumping at it, because we will be installing the car seat in it tomorrow, so we cannot sell it until at least we get this baby home, and then we can sell it in an hour and I'll just walk everywhere.
So like anywhere from now to 3 weeks from now, it will be up for sale.
And then we got another camper. We have a second car. It's just a piece of junk.
It is the Nissan.
It's the hatchback. We still have the hatchback. Okay. And so, anyways, so that we don't need a minivan. The thing is sweet. We love the minivan, but we're actually intending on using the mini. Like, we built it so that there was a third seat that pops up, so we could have the car seat, so that we could travel in it with the baby. But then when we kind of thought about, well, actually, we traveled in it this summer. We went to Colorado and Utah for 4 or 5 weeks. And it was great in the minivan. It was super fun. I loved how fuel efficient it was. It really didn't feel wasteful to drive. So, like, in comparison to a school bus, very fuel efficient. So, loved that. It felt like you didn't have any guilt driving anywhere. Yeah. It was just so nice. But then we pictured, like, that with a baby, and we're like, absolutely not. You need to at least be able to stand up. Like, we have to stand up with a baby to rock them. Like, we can't just be on our knees at all times. So then we said, okay, let's sell the minivan. We did another camper, sold that, and then we bought our school bus. So that kind of brings us to now. So we definitely have designed and redone a lot of things since our first bus, and we're bringing all that learning to this build, which is why we're 4 months deep and kind of nowhere near being done. Just because, you know, you learn more and then you want to do more, and your standards go higher and higher and higher, and your details get more and more and more extreme. So I'm pretty excited about it. It should be a really sweet build, but we'll see when we finish it.
Yeah, we're excited to see it too as well, and it will probably be, we're definitely going to see it done before we're done with our bus. So probably
I hope, dear God.
I mean, if it's not done before we're done with ours, we went really fast and you took very long.
But that would be sad.
Yeah, it would be cool to get to see it and see what you guys thought of, in the general sense of like where you have the baby set up and where you have all your things, like where you know, and maybe we'll be able to grab some inspiration from that as well, because we love looking at other rigs. One of the big reasons why when we were on the road and we started doing van tours was because it was like, hey, we have an opportunity to see like all these different other vans and buses and make videos of it, and then we could say, oh, you know what, I decided I want to take the best things from the best rigs, you know, and that I'm going to implement it into my next rig.
Exactly. I think that's what we kind of really did with this last bus is like our very first one. We were like, we want it. It's such a small space. It's like buses are like the biggest van life you could get, you know. I mean, we still have a short bus. All of these are short buses. Yes. This full length is really the biggest you can get. But
40 foot.
Yeah.
But like you're feeling guilty
driving
your
feet. Seriously. And but like we were like, if this is such a small space, you know, we need it to feel open, so we won't only want it to be kind of one room so that there's no walls. Whereas this is like, no, we know that this isn't a small space in comparison to other vans. And we want this actually to be divided up into areas so that we feel like we can exist in different parts of it during different parts of the day to help with routine. And then also we want to have some places to kind of like soften the noise a little bit when there's a baby crying and we're just trying to fall asleep or whatever it needs to be. So, you know, a lot, your expectations change the more rigs you see. And, but you pull from all of those and you get exciting ideas, and that's what makes doing another build so exciting, because you have new ideas to pull from.
Yeah, I feel like it's exciting and also like exhausting.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like building a van is equal parts, like it's so fun when like your idea comes together and like the vision that you have that you scribbled on a piece of paper is now like a thing in real life that you can sit on or paint it.
That's
so
cool.
Like,
it's such a cool feeling to like be like, I did that. Yeah. Especially when you're not a trained builder. You're like, I'm just some person. Yeah. And I like looked up how to use saw. And then now I'm you not only know how to use the saw, turn it on and off, but very fancy. But like I actually built this cool thing that works and looks nice. Like you feel so empowered.
One of my favorite feelings in the world is laying in the back of a finished build, like in the bed, and just looking into the build and going, holy shit, we did this.
Yeah.
You know, it's just like that's probably the coolest feeling, you know, other than having a baby.
Best day of my life.
As he's currently holding his baby.
She's sleeping in my arms right now. But yeah, it's just one of those beautiful moments that you get to like really appreciate like the labor that you put in, you know, to making this beautiful thing happen. And it sounds like I'm talking about
labor,
but I'm also talking about our van.
And it is cool too. I think because our last major builds were all renovating campers and changing campers, it's super fun to like go back into a blank space of like in campers it's like, okay, well the bathroom is already here, the kitchen is already here. It's been great to be like, I have so much freedom, which can be overwhelming to be like, I could put the kitchen in the driver's seat, I could do anything I want to.
So much power
on the roof, like,
you know, I want the faucet in the engine.
But no, it does change the game for sure. Like to go from camp, I feel like we really built our skills in the campers, like our actual physical carpentry skills by doing all of these campers. But we also always had frameworks to work off of. Like we did rip a lot of them pretty like down in a lot of areas, but we tried to reuse as much of it as we could. And like that was one of the reasons why we really loved it. One was for like the interior design part we really enjoy, but two, it's like to try to save these things from going to the landfill and make them have like this new exciting adventure and enable people to go out on these adventures with this new thing. But we kind of honed in on the skills, and now we get to actually see them come to life by building something from scratch again.
I feel like not for nothing the camper flip requires more skill.
Yes, which you know now.
We did not know what we were getting ourselves into. We should have had this conversation 6 months ago.
The moment Jane said, when you have that blank space and you can do whatever you want in it, I was just daydreaming about the bus, because like trying to work around what's already in something and not being able to reconfigure it to what you want is so frustrating.
Yeah.
And not only frustrating, but then you're also working with materials that you might not even want to work with, you know.
And the mistakes that were already there from not you, right?
Like a lot of them.
The amount of times we bought a camper and they're like, the people who are selling to us are like, well, we painted all the walls, so you don't need to do that. And I'm like, honestly, yes, because now I'm going to have to rip out the walls because you probably did it wrong. And if we're selling something as a product for other people, we need to ensure that it's done in a proper way.
Yes. And so also, like, why did you paint it? Are you hiding, like, water marks and, like,
which mostly they are.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Fresh paint.
Yeah.
no.
Exactly.
I just put lipstick on a pig and sell it to you.
Well, I feel like that's kind of how we got into our situation, was that they had done, like, a mini flip. And I was like, wow, like, you're thinking about how, like, you would have done it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, like, you're looking at it and you're like, this is pretty good. And, like, it's going to be really easy. We're just going to change this one or two little things. And, like, that'll be that.
Months later,
like, you turn on the plumbing and it's leaking everywhere. And then you turn on, you know, like, everything just was, like, you know, you uncover one thing and you find five more that need to be, like, rejigged. Mm-hmm. So I think we're finally getting to the point where we're, like, we fixed all the major things. Like, things are kind of, like, coming together. But, again, it's, you're working with somebody else's mistakes, somebody else, like, 38 years of somebody else's problems.
And quick fixes versus actually doing it properly.
I feel like you really grow in your skills to be able to figure out how to problem solve. Like, it's not even that you're just problem solving. You're having, like, having to figure out, like, okay, what is even the problem here? And then how do I solve it? Right. Yeah. And, like, that's, you're practicing that so much in camper flipping. Yep.
And I feel like one of the biggest problems with it is, like, you're like, ooh, I think I'm pretty close to done. And then you flip something else open and you're like, oh, that looks like shit. I got to fix it. And then you pull that apart and you find five more issues in there. And you're like, oh, man, why did I even open up this bag of this can of worms? But you have to.
But then you feel like if you didn't do it, then it still existed. Correct. You just didn't know about it, right? Correct. So it's like you almost like wish you just never learned about it. But obviously you know that you need to fix it, because if you're going to sell it, like, you want it to be right. And
I'll give you a quick example. We decided to open up a wall because we were like, oh, what are they hiding here? It looks like there could be water damage, you know, on the wood here.
Yeah.
And sure enough, I opened it up and there was water damage on the wood that frames the window and down. And so we had to rip out the whole wall, all the windows, every single window on the camper van, and reseal every single window on the camper van. Just recently, because of the issue with the one window, we wanted to make sure that we redid all of them. Well, and now one is getting a new window.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, that's it. We hopefully are getting this window tomorrow. And going
to
be working.
You sounded so sad, like you were about to cry.
Well, we got this window tomorrow. Well, because it's the window in the back, we took it off. And since it's so old, the seal that actually is on the window itself,
like the glass and the rubber,
is leaking in and leaking into the rig, which means then that could damage the wood over time that we just recently put
out. Well, and then we don't want to build that area until the window is fixed, because we want to make sure that it's not leaking. Because, like, why are we going to spend our money on new wood and new products and all this stuff, put it in there, and then the window's still leaking?
Oh, exactly.
Mm-hmm. So it's like, you know, you got to reverse engineer everything.
We've had that before in a couple campers back, like one of the middle ones that we did. We essentially were finished and then had listed it for sale, and then literally that night there was a huge storm, and we don't know if it was like the direction of the wind or like what, but this new leak formed and it like ruined our whole ceiling, stained our couch, and we're about to show this camper to like seven people, and we're like, one, like, we will fix it before we sell it for sure, but we just need to put lipstick on that pig right now, because we don't want people to feel sketched out that, like, wait, but you said it was new. Why is there a stain on the couch and a leak in the ceiling? But we're showing it in 4 hours, so... So we ended up just, like, I cleaned the couch. It stopped raining. It didn't really damage the paint. So it just like, it was fine. And we just kind of breezed past it. And then knowing that, you know, it always takes about a week for a sale to go through anyway. And that's all we needed to fix the problem. Yeah. So, but it was like, it was stressful to get to the point where it's actually finished now. And now it's leaking. Like, you know, versus with the bus, we leak proof that thing before we even started, and then we're testing it with a hose, we're leaving, oh, there's some storms going, like, let's bring it outside so we can see, and we're standing in there as it's pouring rain, and we're like, we're ensuring that there is not that problem before we even start, so you haven't invested any time, no money, like, into it, and you can make sure you actually have that clean slate, so that's a more peace of mind that way.
I'll even say that's one of the hard things about building in Canada too. Like, once the winter hits, it's you can't even leak test anything.
No, yeah. Freezes. Because
everything's going to freeze if you try to. So it's like, especially if you're getting a bus, right? You have all those windows that have been there for many years, and a lot of them are leaky.
The emergency hatch, for sure.
Yeah.
That is really leaky. You guys have to, like, peel out all the caulking, and, like, there's, like, foam padding underneath of it. You gotta really go to town on that, because our very first bus, it leaked and leaked and leaked before we figured out, like, truly where it was coming from.
That whole thing's coming out, and the skylight's going
out. Oh, yeah? Dang. Nice dreamer. Look at you.
Or, like, a fan or something's going in place of that.
Nice. Yeah, for sure.
Because I just don't see the need.
Yeah. We liked it because we liked it as a way to access our roof to, like, go watch the sunset
the
and do that kind of thing.
Exactly. The skylight hatch.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. That's true. There you go.
Yeah,
but I will say we didn't have any fans in our first one, so that's why it was super useful, because that was like our vent.
Yeah.
But this bus, you know, talk about upgrades. We have two fans,
woo,
roof ceiling vent fans this time, so we can kind of have one going in, one going out to really do the circulation. So we're definitely adding much more into this bus than what we had in our first.
And rightfully so, and that's why it takes so much longer, and you're going to have, like, a really lovely place to live with your family, and as your family grows, you've put the time and effort into it to allow it to be a place where you could love to live in with your family.
Exactly, and I think, too, it feels like a little less scary to invest this much time and this much money into something now, because I know it can sell, because we've already sold, you know, four rigs. So now that I know that they can sell, I know that I know what I'm doing. I know that our work is solid and it will hold up. I know that our ideas are good and our design is good. It's like, okay, well, now I can do something for myself. We can enjoy it for however long we can enjoy it. And I know I'll get that money back when I sell it eventually. So it's kind of like, I know, like, you know, people always, my colleagues and stuff are like, what are you doing? You don't have the baby yet. You're not teaching. Like, I'm like, well, I'm building a bus. And they're like, oh, like, are you getting paid to do that? I'm like, yes, just in like 6 years from now. Like, I'll see the money. It's like a long-term investment, but it's more than just the money, because it provides this life that we're so excited to experience and to live. And we are planning on holding onto the bus for a few years, you know, hopefully get lots of adventure out of it. So we're really excited for this next chapter, for sure.
I think the nice thing too about being able to flip the vans is that you get to live in it, and like, yeah, you put all the money, it's like, again, you're front loading, right? So you're putting all the time and the money and the energy into building the van and like bus building the bus and putting all your care into it now and money. But then, like, when we sold Olive, which is the one that we lived in the longest, we were in for over 2 years, we basically got all of our money back, you know? And I think...
And some.
And, you know, that's the difference between building it yourself and paying somebody else to build it, because it is a pain in the butt to build your own van and the time.
And I will say, if you don't like building them, you can always buy them from us or them.
But that's the thing, you're paying the premium because somebody else put the time and the energy and whatever.
And it is a lot of both those things. It's a lot of time, it's a lot of energy, it's a lot of money, but you get so much more of that back in value in terms of the life that you're going to gain from this that for us, it's totally worth it because we enjoy those things. If you didn't enjoy it, 100% buy it from somebody who does, you know, fuel their passion. Like, every time somebody buys from us, I'm like excited, not just for the life that they get to have, but I'm like, thank you for allowing us to live this life where we can build things and people will buy them, because I enjoy being in the workshop. I enjoy, just like you said, sketching a design on paper, and at the end of the day, it's done. Especially when I was teaching, and I would just sketch that on the paper, come back from teaching, and it was done because Jane did it. That was the best. You know? But seriously, it's like, there's so much joy that you can get from that, of like that feeling of pride from truly making something from your own mind, that like, I think in that many ways it's priceless just for that aspect. But then you not just only made it, but it's like this functional thing you can use, and it's like fueling a whole new life for you. Like, that's pretty powerful too.
And if you take the girl math, if you take how much you spent on the van, and then, you know, how many years that you live in it,
exactly,
and then you dollar average like your monthly expense, if you think, like, how much rent is these days.
It's true.
You're really, like, it's a very affordable way to live.
Absolutely. And that was exactly how we afforded our very first bus. We thought, okay, well, we're going to go traveling this for a year. So how much is rent for a year? That's now our budget for the bus. Yep. So then we ended up coming under that and then selling the bus for more. So then we're like, oh, well, that turned out to be a great deal. Yeah. But, you know, so extra girl math, you actually come out with money in your pocket, which is not even girl math. That's just full on true math, like real investment. But you will come out with money in your pocket. And then if you did it all right and, you know, quote unquote to code and everything was done well so that it can be sold again, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And that's what I love about, like, what we're all doing. We're doing the same thing.
Yeah, generally. Totally. Like,
we're living out of rigs and we're selling them and we're showing the concept and proving the concept of it working. And then we're able to live our best and favorite lifestyle that we all like to live, you know, of travel and being on the road. And the beauty of not only getting to see really amazing places, but also getting to meet amazing people along the way. Like, I don't really know another community that's so together and separate all at the same time. And when you come together, it's like the funnest time in the world. And then when you're on your way and on your own path, you're all just individually enjoying it to the extent that you want to, you know, and you get to go do the things and activities and stuff that you want, no matter what it is, whether it's warm weather stuff or cold weather stuff, you could figure out a place to go do it and just go.
It's such a diverse community too, is still so unified in, like, you can just meet people that you would have probably never spoken to in quote unquote real life. And you know, you already have like some pretty big fundamental things in common. And you can bond on that. And like, that's such a powerful way to meet people, to already know you have common ground. And it kind of breaks down a lot of walls to start talking to people that you otherwise wouldn't have spoken to. It makes you realize how much we truly do have in common. So it's kind of a beautiful thing about the lifestyle too. An extra perk than just seeing pretty mountains, you know?
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
You're making pretty friends.
Yeah.
As an adult,
pretty souls.
It's really hard to make new friends. Like, when you're just living in a house and doing your day-to-day life, like, you might have work friends, and then you might have, like, gym friends, but, like, to have, like, just, like, life friends, you know, is, like, it's hard to find new people to, like, connect with. But like you said, you already have things in common. Like, you already had this goal and this big dream and, you know, this love of the outdoors or, you know, an alternative lifestyle. So it's like, we have so many building blocks already established that you can kind of just be like, okay, now we can get to the next level.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. There's already so much there. Like, you'll love building. You end up loving design. Even if you're not into interior design, you know, at least the design in terms of making this square inch count, you know? So like, there's so much there that you can kind of riff off of and go back and forth with, but it's also just that community you can tap into to introduce yourself to new people. Like, some of our best friends that we have are because of Instagram. And like, it's almost like the new Tinder. It's like Instagram, how you make friends in adulthood, you know?
I mean, if it wasn't for Instagram, we would have never met.
Yeah, it's true.
We would be sitting here having this conversation with you guys.
Well, that's not necessarily 100% true, because the Mustang drive-in definitely...
Well, but that was through Instagram.
But did you meet them through Instagram?
Yes, we did.
Potentially.
Yes, we did. 100% did. They followed us on YouTube and whatnot, but then we also chatted with them on Instagram, and then from chatting with them, we were introduced to you guys, and we were gonna go see a movie on the same day, but that didn't happen. But we still set something up to come and hang out.
Yeah,
you know?
It was like, perfect.
Yeah, and we have a lovely time with you guys every time we hang out. We enjoy it very much, and there's always some great food and great conversation, a lot of laughs. And if it wasn't for a van life, and if it wasn't for the
internet,
even
though we're all living house life right now,
if it wasn't for that particular thing in common, right? The nomadic living, van life, bus life, whatever you want to call it, if we didn't have that thing in common, the chances of us meeting outside would have been much lower.
Absolutely. Like, but if you live in the same community, like, we live so close together right now. It's crazy. But still, exactly.
Like, the chances of us being in, like, you know, Wellington, Belleville, any of these, like, city parts, I guess, of this area at the same time
But then the talking, place, like finding a reason to
say
talk.
Hi.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
we should just walk around Home Depot with like a badge that says, I'm building a bus. Are you?
Yo, that would be hilarious.
Then you might like, you know,
you
be
buy
like,
them.
You, me, you. Oh, shoot.
Oh, let's like, do it. Yeah. I like that idea, actually. That would be fun.
One time I was at Home Depot and I saw these people who looked really cool picking up paint. And I was like, do I just? And we were just moved here. We had no friends. And I was like, do I just go and say,
yes,
hey, you're picking up paint. That means you at least paint things. Should we be friends? And I was like, I chickened out, but I regretted it ever since. I was like, I should have just said hi. But
you should go on like the missed connections.
Yeah.
I saw this couple at Home Depot in the paint section, and I knew they were my type. No, but like seriously though, I think that whenever you have a feeling like that, why not?
Yeah,
the
true.
Worst thing that could happen is they like look at you with some side eye.
I feel like that's with anything.
Yeah,
just like if you're walking by somebody and you like their shirt, just tell them you like their shirt.
Yeah, that's a sweet shirt. You know,
like you never know, you might brighten somebody's day or whatever. Like it might not become like a, you know, a connection where you're best friends for the rest of your lives or whatever. But
I feel like I like the idea of those connections or just making those interactions, because a lot of people, or what it seems like, you know, if you're ready to have the negative interaction, like that just happens almost like immediately, right? Mm-hmm. Like if somebody feels a certain way and it's negative, they just say it, like it comes out. It's like word vomit almost. Where when it's like a positive thing, you kind of hold back a little for something. Like you almost feel like insecure to say something nice. But we should just be like, whatever.
Yeah, it's
like,
true.
You know, like great smile.
Yeah.
You know what?
That's true.
You know what
that's
I mean? Like,
true.
Why not? Why don't we do that?
Compliments
as a group?
Are free, everyone.
I'd be honest. I probably compliment too many people when I'm out. I talk to too many strangers when I'm out. But you know, that's just part of what I like to do.
And like 99% of the time, it's positive reaction.
Yeah.
Or they just ignore you and they're like, who is this?
They're like skeptic.
Maybe they'll realize later on that I might have made their day better.
That's true.
You know, like it's just like.
You're not going to make it worse.
No.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
No. Probably.
Yeah.
Probably.
1%
chance. All right. So if you had any advice for people looking to get into this kind of alternative lifestyle, maybe camper flipping or van life or whatever, bus life. What would you...
With a baby.
Ooh. Ooh. Extra.
I mean, we don't have a baby yet, so we don't have that piece,
I would say.
But I think just have confidence in yourself. I feel like that's a lot of what it takes. Like, you don't need the skills. You can figure things out as you go along, but you just need to have that, like, you know what? I can do this.
Yeah. I think my advice was very similar, but slightly different in that... It's not so much that you have to know what you're doing. It's that you have to know that you can figure it out. So a big piece of that comes down into like not letting yourself get overwhelmed. And instead of seeing it as this huge problem, this huge build, this huge dream or goal that's so unattainable, break it down into small steps that feel attainable. Mm-hmm. Complete those steps one by one. And then you will have a bus and you will be on the road living that life that you said you couldn't because it's too hard. Mm-hmm. So I think once you think you want to do it, decide you want to do it. Once you've decided, all that's you have to do is really just figure out what your first step is. Mm-hmm. Once you got your first step, figure out your second. You don't have to do the whole thing at once. You just have to figure out that next step, and that slow forward movement will be enough.
Yeah, and just to add to that, you know, the people of this community are very responsive. And I know, like, for me, example, I know that when people reach out and ask me a question, I'm really quick to answer and, like, give you some helpful tips.
1,000%.
And I know that everybody else in the community, you guys as well, are very similar in that aspect. And, you know, just reaching out to the right people is going to help you out a lot. We all call it YouTube University for a reason.
Yeah.
A lot of us put videos on there about things that, you know, to help you build these type of things out. But, yeah, just reach out on Instagram. You know, we're always open to help out people in the community. Can't tell you how many times I've gotten that, like, oh, my gosh, you actually answered me back.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah.
I'm a real person.
If I said it, then I'm going to do it, you know? So it's, yeah.
And you like to help out because when we all started, we needed
someone to help us out. Correct. So it's that you want to pay it forward, right? Yeah. But I think another thing too to recognize is when we first built our bus and when you first built your van, like there wasn't that much content out there.
No.
And now like there is so much content out there. There's such good resources. Like you can really tap into knowledge that exists. You don't have to reinvent the wheel every time. Like see what is out there once you're trying. And that is kind of the first step is figuring out, okay, well, what do I need to do? And then just type that thing into YouTube and you will have 10 videos telling you different techniques on how to do it. And you can figure out from those what you would like to do and how you would like to move forward.
And definitely always watch more than one video.
Yes.
Because sometimes that person who made that video didn't know what they were talking about.
Yes. And even though they seem like they do, that is the con of YouTube University. Yeah. You don't know who your professor is. You
like 2 months later when that thing broke.
You know what
I mean? Well, one thing we did notice when we were on the road was when we were doing the van tours, is we would do a van tour and then after we would say,
we would like hang out with them for a couple of days because, you know, we'd be like friendly and we're caravanning or whatever. And then you would slowly unearth that like, oh, that thing doesn't actually work. That's giving them trouble.
They can't actually fit into this area. just like really weird random things. And when you do the tour with them, it's like
everything's perfect. Everything's clean. Everything's wonderful.
And we're like, but tell us the things that aren't, because that's really what people need to know.
Yeah.
You know, so we got to figure out a lot of those things by, you know, doing these tours with people. And then we realized, you know what, we're just going to show every side of it.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, that's what we want to do. And that's what I feel like helps unearth and help people out in the future. So that way they don't make the same mistakes that we made. And there's
think that if they're having problems, that they're the only ones having problems.
Because I think there's so much of that pressure that you're like, well, if I can't do it perfectly, then I shouldn't do it at all. Yeah. And it's like, actually, you could do it extremely flawed and still be better than like paid people you could have paid to do this.
Yeah.
Right.
And you've learned the skill.
I almost challenge like whoever is listening to just look around their house that they probably didn't build themselves. If you did, good for you. But look around the house that and just see like, are there paint drips from the walls you didn't paint, like that you've never noticed? Is the drywall actually dinged? Is that door frame actually crooked? Like if you did it yourself, it would have driven you nuts. You'd be like, I did it so bad. It's so wrong. It's not perfect. But once you actually look around, you start realizing these buildings you've lived in, you've never noticed their imperfections. And the reason why you didn't notice it is because you didn't build it. Yeah. So why do we have to be so much more critical when we do it ourselves? Like you got to give yourself as much grace as you do these random contractors and architects and whatever out there, that because you go into public spaces all the time and you don't notice the amount of imperfections that they have because you're like, this was professionally done. Well, you can be professional, just pay yourself, you're fine.
I love that perspective because I never really thought about it like that, and you're so freaking right. Like it really is something, like if you walk around houses you could see so many different things.
So many flaws. Yeah, and you never notice them for a second when it's not you who did it. Yeah. But as soon as you do it, you're like, oh, I'm embarrassed. Like, this is shit. Yeah. Like,
you feel shame.
Yeah. No one's going to even like it. Like, oh, I can't even look at this thing. And so that was a learned skill that I think almost most important skill that we learned over all of the rigs that we built was just to be okay with it not being perfect, because in the end, it actually doesn't really matter. Yeah. Like, you still have the bus. Don't let that stop you from getting the life that you want to have.
Mm-hmm. And, like, 6 months later when you're staring at that mountain and enjoying the view and, like, you realize you've been living your dream, you're not going to be worried about your carpentry.
Yeah. Exactly. You're not going to be worried that the caulking wasn't even in this one spot. Right. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You're going to be like, damn, this is perfect.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, thank you guys so much for doing this with us. We really appreciate you. I'm ready for coffee and cake.
Yeah.
So we're
done
with that. If you guys want to check out Camp Lovesick, we're going to have all their links down below. So go follow them on Instagram. Their Instagram stories are amazing. So many good transitions.
Oh, thank you. I'm working really hard.
But yeah, go check them out. We'll have their links down below. And really excited to potentially travel with you guys with the babies.
Oh my gosh, our babies are going to be best friends.
Oh, I love that.
I love this.
Everly's 3 months older, though, so she's gonna get, like, show the ropes.
Yes.
You
know, of course.
Yeah. Awesome. Thank you guys so much.
Thank you guys. We hope that you all have an FNA day.
Hey, everybody knows it's true. Van life, YouTube channel, what they do. Everybody's got to get money. Everybody's about to get money. Make sure you subscribe to their YouTube channel, FNA Van Life. Over all that.